Good afternoon. My name is Sarah Vero and I'm a PhD student from the National University of Ireland Galway and Chagas Environmental Research Centre. And when I talk about hydraulic equilibrium, I mean hydraulic equilibrium at a single point along the soil water characteristic curve. So as you all know, the curve is obviously the relationship between the pressure and the water content. But we use this curve in a number of ways. We can estimate the pore size distribution, the plant available water, or in the case of my research, we can use it for numerical modelling. Basically, I am using Hydrus 1D to estimate the transport of solutes from the surface to the groundwater level with a view to advising policymakers as to regard the time lag in groundwater improvements. So what I've been doing is measuring the curve using the Van Gennuchten equation in RET-C to estimate the hydraulic parameters and then to get a simulated breakthrough curve in Hydrus. Now, measuring the soil water characteristic curve, as you probably know, is often done on very small or disturbed samples, and there are some problems with this, namely that they might not truly reflect the behaviour of an in-situ, undisturbed soil. And with various methods, the pressure plates and tempi cells are probably the most favoured traditionally, but obviously there's newer devices, the high prop, or there's sensor pairing, which has its own limitations and advantages. But I have selected for my research to use the centrifuge method, and I used the Gardner equation you're probably familiar with as well. The reason I've used this method is twofold, basically. Number one, it's so much quicker than the pressure plates. And number two, because it's much quicker, it allows us to use undisturbed samples and larger samples, which I feel are more likely to better reflect the behaviour of in-situ soils. Now, the problem is that you use the centrifuge method to induce desaturation in a stepwise fashion, and you assume equilibrium at each pressure step once water outflow ceases. But this is a very rough measurement. So some people use very, very small samples, in which case you can apply a rule of thumb that says, after 2 hours centrifugation at a given pressure, we will assume that equilibrium is reached. And that's probably acceptable if you have a very small or disturbed sample. And then some people also use in-flight instrumentation, such as TDRs, but that requires adaptations to your centrifuge. If you're in a standard laboratory, that might not be possible. Another challenge is that there is, to my knowledge, no off-the-shelf kit for use of the centrifuge method. So even though people are using the same method, everyone has to devise and custom make their own kit. So some of the rules of thumb we see in the literature are 2 hours, 4 to 8 hours, and as you can see, these are using very, very small samples. Race it always says until dewatering ceases, 3 to 8 hours, up to 72 hours, but they had in-flight instruments and slightly larger samples. So we know the bigger the sample, the longer it's going to take, but there's still a lot of uncertainty there. So I was simply unsure at the start of my PhD, how long did I need to centrifuge my samples at each pressure step? I was not certain that any of these rules would be directly applicable to the samples I was using. So I said, well, I have to think, what am I using for? I need to measure the curve, fit it using Van Gennuchten and Mulam, and then I used to model it in Hydrus 1D to determine time lag. So I said the simplest thing to do would be to take some intact soil cores. Here you can see the description of them here. I'd put them in my centrifuge and I'd simply weigh them every hour and see when does the weight change stop and the water outflow stop. This was a lot more challenging than I anticipated. At minus 20 kilopascals, it took 72 hours of hourly measurements before that water outflow actually ceases. Because even though that water outflow was very, very small, very hard to detect in truth, it continued over a very long time. So just for an example, if I applied a 24-hour rule, it would have assumed that the residual water content at that pressure was 38.99%. A 48-hour rule would have suggested 37.55 or 35%, and then 70 hours was 36.22%. So that's a significant change. If you add up those incremental losses, or those incremental inaccuracies at each step along the soil water characteristic curve, you could result in very different Van Gennuchten and Mulam parameters than are actually true for that soil. So I repeated it at other pressure steps. As you can see, the frequency of the measurements decreased significantly because I simply couldn't keep up that frequency of measurements. So I was kind of stumped. I said, so I don't know when true equilibrium is reached at a given pressure step. And what are the implications of this for a numerical model? And I thought, well, perhaps there's an effective equilibrium, not true hydraulic equilibrium, but a point where greater water loss beyond that point won't make any more difference to my simulation. So I took three sets of four soil cores from a very close area, and I decided I'd centrifuge them at the following pressure steps. And I would apply rules which said I would see centrifugation at each step after either 24 hours, 48 hours, and 72 hours. I would then run these curves through RET-C, through HYDROS-1D, and then I would see what is the difference in a solute breakthrough based on using these different curves. And as you can see, straight away, applying a 24-hour rule, that's the blue line here, results in vastly different curve compared to a 48 or 72-hour rule. And if you think about it, it makes absolutely perfect sense. There simply isn't enough time for the water to leave an intact soil sample in 24 hours. But the difference between the 48-hour and the 72-hour curves were very minor. So that initially suggested to me that perhaps a 48-hour rule was sufficient for the core size I was using. As you can see, the difference between the three different treatments in terms of pore diameter is again very minor, and the Van Gennep and Mulam parameters are shown here. What's exciting is the breakthrough curves. So I constructed in HYDROS-1D a 50-centimetre soil profile using the parameters described by these curves, and I simulated the movement of conservative tracer based upon a dry and a wet year. For the dry year, so I divided the breakthrough curves into initial breakthrough, peak breakthrough, centre of mass, and total solute exit. And as you can see, for the initial two, for initial breakthrough and peak, and to a certain extent, centre of mass, the differences were very, very minor through all three treatments. However, if you're concerned about total solute exit, there was a much greater difference between the 24-hour and the 48 and 72-hour treatments. So that was, I initially felt that the 48-hour rule is likely to be applicable for this size of cores. I then repeated the simulation for a wet year, and the exact same pattern held true. For initial breakthrough and peak, the breakthrough curves were very similar across the three treatments, but for the latter part of the breakthrough curve, the differences between the 48 and 72-hour treatments were far greater in comparison to the 24-hour treatments. So for the purpose of my project, which is estimating solute breakthrough, a 48-hour rule on these particular soil cores is sufficient. But that is not to say that a 48-hour rule is applicable in all situations. Depending on the size of your cores and the style of modelling you're using, that might not be the case. So what I want to highlight is how important it is to assess the effect of dewatering truncation can be on your own modelling processes. So what I would say, you can't call this equilibrium. It's not, and I'm not suggesting by any means that it is equilibrium, but perhaps we could call it an effective equilibrium because it's effective for the purpose that I'm using it for. So I'd like to thank you very much, and I would like to acknowledge the International Association of Hydrologists and the Irish Geological Association, which kindly sponsored my attendance at this meeting. They were 3.8 centimetres apart. I use a porous saturated ceramic to extend the range of suction because it wasn't possible within... I should have specified that. I had a saturated soil core sitting above a saturated ceramic above a reservoir to allow outflow. Sorry, I should have specified that. Cheers. Yeah, absolutely. That, you're dead right, it could be significant. I followed in the literature, a lot of people coat the top of their samples with parafilm to prevent evaporative loss, so that's what I've done. I can't guarantee with 100% accuracy that there was no evaporation, but there were steps taken to minimise it, certainly. Possibly coating the top with wax would actually be a better approach. The method is still in development as to what the long term, if we were developing it, an off-the-shelf kit, which would be a huge advantage. If anyone's thinking about that, that would be very, very helpful. A lid or a topping to the soil core would be a big advantage. Yeah, absolutely. The difficulty is that basically my project is in the Republic of Ireland, and I'm trying to estimate the time lag. We have Peter transfer functions, and we have some soils data, but they don't necessarily tell us enough about the soil, so it does become necessary to measure the actual curve. So we're kind of starting from a very low level of generic textural data. If we had that data, certainly there would be other approaches we could take. Rather than possibly measuring the curve, we could infer it with a little more accuracy. We just don't have that data at present. Yes, absolutely. The dry weight at 105 degrees Celsius for 48 hours relative to that.
Do you consider that to be a high quality?
That is a good question. I hadn't really I'll be honest with you, I hadn't considered that at a huge degree. It's so prevalent and consistent in the literature that that's used as a baseline that I hadn't questioned it. It's certainly something I would have to look at before I could venture to comment any further than that.